All right, so we are holding on Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis, about two-thirds of the way down the Amud, by the two dots, Reb Chanina ben Antignus. Well, we're three blocks from the end of the Masechta. Okay, so Lamed Aleph. Yeah. Amud Aleph. Okay, we said in the mission of Chanina ben Antignus and Ksherach Fuller that we're talking about what kinds of vlodos of animals that themselves are possible for a carbon. We said that in general the vlodos of them are kosher for a carbon, although we said earlier this is not, depending on the various circumstances that we talked about yesterday. And then in the mission of Chanina ben Antignus says that if you have a kosher animal that nursed from a treif animal, then it's possible to bring another carbon. Chanina ben Antignus and Ksherach Fuller. So my time. So the question is, why does Reb Chanina ben Antignus say that that would be a problem? Yeah, that it nursed from a treif animal. Ilema d'mefatma mina. Are you going to say it's because it got fattened up from that not from that animal that was a treif? Elamayata, by that logic, hechilah karshine abedizara. So suppose, for example, that instead of it nursing from a treif animal, suppose instead they fed it with beans that belonged to abedizara. Are you going to tell me that according to him, such an animal would be possible to bring another carbon? We never find such a thing anywhere. That just because it ate beans of Avodah Zarah, which are also by now, yeah. Ella, Tani Reb Chanina, Tzvita, Kameh Di Reb Yechanan. The fascist, because we don't see otherwise, but wait, we'll talk about that in a second. Ella, Tani Reb Chanina, Tzvita, Kameh Di Reb Yechanan. Rather, Reb Chanina, Tzvita, taught a braisa in front of Reb Yechanan. We're not just talking about that one that occasionally it nursed from a straight thing. We're going to say, Nika Cholof Reseach Mishachus L'Shachus. Means that one that every day, every morning throughout its lifetime, it nursed. Reseach literally means boiling, but in other words, it means hot milk straight from the udders every morning. Now the point is that the animal the baby could survive on that morning milk that it got 24 hours. It doesn't need anything else to eat. So therefore, it amounts to, it's not just that it sometimes got fattened up with milk from a non-kosher animal. Even if in between it ate other things, nevertheless, the fact is it could live exclusively off this milk that it drank from the treifa, and therefore its entire growth comes from something which is oster, and therefore Reb Chanina ben Antignus would say that that's a problem. Now, the interesting point is, therefore, the Tosfos mentioned, in that case, it would come out, well, we asked about beans of Avodah Zarah, so the answer would apparently be the same thing. The Gemara was assuming, and that's true, that if it just occasionally ate such beans, fine, that's not going to make a trace. But if it lived off of those for its entire, it was raised on such beans, then apparently the Gemara would be implying that it's also. And furthermore, Tosfos says, on the face of it, the Gemara would not just be talking about it would be also the carbon. On the face of it, it would be also to a head yet as well. It would be also for regular use to eat as well, because by the same logic, because it grew off something which is also bahna. So you wind up actually with a multi-way machlokus among the poskim. What is the actual halacha? The Rambam. Well, because first of all, the question is, Tosfos is saying that it sounds like it's even for a head yet, but is that necessarily so? The Rambam not only disagrees with that, but the Rambam holds this is all only a coincidence of Chanina ben Antignus. The Rambam understands that the Chachamim would argue with him. Therefore, the Rambam doesn't bring it, because if we're saying that Chanina ben Antignus says it, then the implication is that the Chachamim would disagree.
If we don't see the Chachamim explicitly.
Yeah, but usually, many times we say that something is brought as a das yochid, then it means it's only his opinion. So that's the Rambam learns that way, and therefore the Rambam says, la halacha, not only you'd be allowed to eat such an animal, even if it was fed its whole life on beans or whatever of Avodah Zarah, but you'd even be able to bring it to the carbon. So not like Reb Chanina ben Antignus at all. On the other hand, the Rambam brings, based on what Tosfos is saying over here, and goes a little bit further, that apparently the idea is, if we're mentioning here that it nursed from a treifa, and we're saying that it's also, and Tosfos is mentioning also the case of the beans, it sounds like, and this is how the Rambam learns, that it means if an animal was fed its entire life on things that are also, not even if they're also by not, if they're also like milk from a treifa, then yes, it would make the animal also cheap. The Shach then disagrees with that.
That's true.
That's the Rambam says that.
It's
And then the Shach comes in and disagrees and takes kind of a middle ground. He says not if it's just Isturi Achila, like milk from a Teresa animal, only if it was Isturi Hana, such as Avodah Zarah. We have three different opinions. So the halacha is, I don't know, I mean, given that you have, especially you have an Achron, the Shach, being involved in the Machlokas over here, then what do we actually do in practice? I don't know. I don't know. If the issue comes up, I guess you ask the Rav who we hold by in practice, the Amar or the Shach.
Yeah. Okay.
No, we're talking about would you be allowed to eat it for a hedyot? Again, the Amar and the Shach are not talking about the question of korbanos. They're talking about would you be allowed to eat such an animal? Where the Amar is saying no, if it was Isurei Achila or Isurei Hana, and the Shach is saying only if it was Isurei Hana. So if you have an animal was fed, so it comes out, in other words, if an animal was fed on, for example, beans of Avodah Zarah, both the Rambam and the Shach would hold also to eat. Only the Rambam would say it's kosher to eat. But if you fed it on, for if it was nursed, for example, from a stray animal, then the Rambam would still say it's also, and the Shach would say it's mutter. Yeah. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Kol HaKodshim Shenasu Tereifa Ein Purdin. So the last line of the Mishnah we said is that any Kodshim that became Tereifa, you can't redeem them because then the only thing you'd be able to do with the meat is throw it to the dog, like Halas HaShlokonosei, and you can't be Purdin Kodshim to do that. So Menahat Mili, where do we know that from? The Tanan Amonon, because we learn in a Breisa, the Pasuk says about Psulei HaMukdoshin, Tizbach, the expression of the Pasuk is Tizbach V'Yachalta. You can stress it and you can eat it. So Tizbach, we learn from that, means V'loi Giza. We're talking about an animal that was supposed to be kodshim and then became possil for one reason or another. Developed a mum or what have you.
Treifa.
Here, the Mishnah is talking about treifa, because if it was a bal mum, there's no problem. If it's a bal mum, you can eat. So treifa is another kind, is an example of psulei hamukdashin because you can't bring it to the carbon. Okay, in other words, like this, listen. Tizbach means volagiza. When the Pasuk says you may shecht psulei hamukdashin, the implication is volagiza, but you're not allowed to shear them. And when it says the achalta, when it says you may eat them, means voloi leklovecha, means you can't shecht them where the only you can't shecht them and you can't be poed to them and shecht them, where the only thing you could do would be to feed them to the dogs.
Right.
So that's where we see that the tereifa, you can't be poed to because that would be leklovecha. The only thing you could do with meat would feed it to the dogs. So any other psulei hamukdashin, fine. You can shecht them and you will be eating them. So the pasuk is implying that a tereifa, you can't do that. And when it says boso, the expression of the pasuk is tizbach ve'achalta boso. So we're saying that each one of those words is a mute. Tizbach means to tell you you can only shecht it, but you can't shear it. Ve'achalta means only if you're going to be able to eat it, not if it's going to be thrown to the dogs. And boso means v'loi cholok. The word boso means you're allowed to eat the meat, but you're not allowed to eat the milk, psulei hamukdashin. Mikan shein poden at the kodshim lachim l'tavim. So there you go then. So you see that you can't be poden kodshim where the only thing you'd be able to do with them is feed them to the dogs, because that would go against the achalta. Okay. Ikadanvi, on the other hand, there's another opinion says, tizbach v'achalta, that the words tizbach v'achalta are not meant to exclude necessarily the case of a tereifa, but rather, from that we learn, eim l'cha behen heter ela mishachas v'cha v'elach. It means, in other words, we take those two words together, tizbach v'achalta. The only hana that you can have with them is the hana that you would have after you shecht them. So therefore, according to that opinion, it still excludes the milk because that you milk the animal while it's alive. It still excludes the shearing for the same reason. But that opinion would say we're not learning something separate from the achalta to say, therefore, that it has to be edible by people, and therefore, kasavar. So evidently, that opinion holds poden if a kodshim lachel on the plovin, that you could be poden kodshim even where the only thing you could do is feed them to the dogs. So then there's another opinion of Tanoim that holds, that disagrees with our Mishnah and says that you would be able to be poda, that you would be able to be a tereifa. He only disagrees on the v'achalta, right? He agrees on the tizbach, that it means that you can't shear them. Well, the point is he's learning it differently. Instead of learning from tizbach, that it means v'loi giza, and instead of learning v'achalta, that it means v'loi l'klavecha, he's kind of combining those two together and saying the words tizbach v'achalta teach us one thing. The only kind of achila, the only kind of enjoyment you can have from this animal is the kind that you have after you shed. Just that. In other words, you have an animal that you designated as a korban. It became a tereifa. It was clawed by a wolf or what have you. Now the halacha, now we know you can't eat it, like tell us a shlichon, so therefore you can't be poyde according to the Tana Kamma, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, you can't be poyde from a hektish because now what are you going to be able to do with it afterwards? Eventually it's going to die and you're going to have to throw it to the dogs. And you can't do that. Whereas according to the second opinion, you could do that.
But going to express opinion, what are you going to do?
Nothing. You have to say, also Bahamna, and eventually it's going to die, and then you have to bury it as well at the end of the next day. Okay. Hadron Allah Kol Asur. Okay. So now we're going to continue talking about various issues that apply to Kodshim. One thing is that we know first of all, okay, so we know that there's Kodshim is Be'ach, and we know there's Kodshim Bede Kabbalah. So we're going to start by talking about the differences between them, one of the differences being as far as Tmura, which is what it's doing in Amos Efter, but then we're going to go on to talk about various other differences and similarities between Kodshim is Be'ach and Kodshim Bede Kabbalah. And the other thing we're going to discuss in the Perek and in the last daf or two of it is what do we do with things of Kodshim that are also, what do we do with things in general, things in the Torah that are also Bahana? Which ones do we have to bury? Which ones do we have to burn? Etc. So, the Mishnah says, Yesh b'Kodshim is Be'ach She'en b'Kodshim Bede Kabbalah. There are certain features that apply to certain dinim that apply to Kodshim is Be'ach that do not apply to Kodshim Bede Kabbalah. The Yesh b'Kodshim Bede Kabbalah She'en b'Kodshim is Be'ach. And vice versa, you have certain features that apply to Kodshim Bede Kabbalah that do not apply to Kodshim is Be'ach. So the first difference is Shekodshim is Be'ach Oysin Tmura, Shekodshim Bede Kabbalah is Ein Oysin Tmura. The first difference, we've learned a few times in the Masechta already, is that only Kodshim is Be'ach are able to produce a Tmura. Kodshim Bede Kabbalah will not. So if I have an animal of Kodshim Bede Kabbalah and I take another animal and I say I want this one to be a Tmura of the other one, nothing happens. As opposed to... Because no Kedusha Sagut. Okay. Well, we learned it from a Pasuk, actually. We
were my Kedusha
at that point, let's say it was a Baal Mum, or let's say it was a Baal Mum, to take the most simple case.
So you were Makdish to Bede Kabbalah?
Yes. Yes, so you were Makdish to Bede Kabbalah, it's still in your hands, but you wanted to make a Tmura with it, then nothing happens. No Tmura takes effect. We learned at the end of the first Perek, because the Pasuk mentions in that connection that it has to be a Korban, and we explained over there that for this purpose, the word Korban means only something that actually comes as a Korban on the Mizeach, not Kodshim Bede Kabbalah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to look about to Mr. Yossel Hedges as soon as you can. Okay. Also, Kodshim is Be'ach Chayavan Olam Mishum Pigul Nois of the top. Another difference is that only Kodshim is Be'ach is a person Chayav, Kores, or Korban, for eating Pigul, or Noiser, or Tomei from them, as opposed to Kodshim Bede Kabbalah is not. Also, another difference is Vladan V'chalavan Osu La'achat Yonan. Another difference is that Kodshim is Be'ach, when they become possible, they're babies, and their milk is also, even after you're part of them, milk we just said at the end of the previous parak, Vasa V'lechalav, and then Vlodos also, we have a Vlodos, Rashi says, we're talking about over here where the animal was pregnant before you were part of it, and then it gave birth after the pigeon. So you can't be mocked with the blood, because there's not a strong enough kedusha, but you can't be part of it either. As opposed to, Rashi says, Kodshim Bede Kabbalah doesn't matter when they become pregnant. Either way, you only makdish them for the Dhamim. Only their value is kodesh, so they don't have such a strong kedusha that you should say that the baby is going to be in that limbo situation and you can't be pregnant. Okay. Vashos and Bechutz Chayav. Another difference is that if a person shechs Kodshim Mizbeach outside their Zorah, then it's Chayav Kores or Chatos, as opposed to Kodshim Bede Kabbalah not. Another difference is that Kodshim is Be'ach, you can't give to the craftsmen who work for the Beis Mikdash for their pay. Meaning, in other words, you have people that do different jobs for the Beis Mikdash. Some of them are permanent employees. For example, we know famously the Beis Avtinus, who made the Ketores, the Gamu, who made the Lachem upon him, and a number of others that had permanent positions in the Beis Mikdash. And then occasionally you'd have contractors, like any other business. The Beis Mikdash sometimes needs one-off jobs done for it, and they hire a contractor. They have to pay them. You can't pay them with Kodshim Mizbeach, right? Mashenkin the Kodshim Bede Kabbalah, as opposed to that these things do not apply to Kodshim Bede Kabbalah. Things that were designated, that you were makdish for the Bede Kabbalah, right? For the upkeep and the maintenance and the rebuilding and whatever the Beis Mikdash.
And that includes the maintenance of the Mikdash.
Yes, So actually, we're gonna talk about in the Gemara that about when we say that you're able to transfer something from one kind of kedusha to the other. But actually, in that connection, worth mentioning, the Rambam holds that it means you can't even transfer from within one thing of Bedek HaBayis to another. For example, if you have something that was supposed to be used, that was in the funds that was supposed to be used for repairing the Azorah, let's say, then he says you can't use it. You can't use it, let's say, for the Mizbeach or the Heifel or whatever. The Ravid disagrees with that. The Ravid in fact argues with that. He says you could change it within Bedek HaBayis. And the Keshet Mishnah wants to say that maybe the Rambam would agree you can do it to a higher Kedusha, but it's not to a lower one. So, for example, with earmarks for the Azorah, let's say you could use it for the Mizbeach, but not vice versa. Okay. Well, if you redeem it from Hekdesh, then it doesn't belong to Hekdesh anymore anyway. Then, yeah, I mean, the Hekdesh is... Ultimately, when you're Makdesh almost anything to Bedek HaBayis, when you're Makdesh something to Bedek HaBayis, sometimes they may use the actual thing itself, if you're Makdesh a stone or a piece of wood or whatever. Much more often, you're going to be Makdesh something which they can't use the thing itself, but it has monetary value. So they'll sell it. They'll find somebody who wants to buy it, as we learned in Erechin, and then they have the money that they can use it. Okay. So, yeah, so Kodesh Bedek HaBayis, none of these rules apply. There is, by the way, a machlokas rishonim, which actually in a way goes back to a machlokas tanoim in a Mishnah in Shkolim. When we say that you can use kodesh bedek habayis for paying the umnin, for paying the workers, does it mean you can give them an actual object that was designated for bedek habayis, or does it mean that and then basically what we'd be saying is you're exchanging, here's this object in return for the work that you did for the Beit Hamikdash. Does that work, or do you need to actually be mechalel on a tangible object? So one way of looking at it is you do. You need a tangible object in between. So you would have to be mechalel it on money, and then you could give them the object or the money or whatever. The other way of looking at it is that you could be mechalel it even on something intangible like work. Okay. Fine. Yesh the kod shebedek habayis. On the other hand, there's a feature when it comes to kod shebedek habayis, just dan hektashis, the bedek habayis. If a person says that this is hektish without specifying what kind of hektish, then it goes to bedek habayis. Another difference, hektish bedek habayis chal al akor. Hektish bedek habayis can be on anything. As opposed to kod shemizbeach, you only have a small subset of things, certain kinds of animals and wine and oil and so forth that go on the mizbeach. But kodesh bedek habayis, you could do anything. You could be makdish the table for bedek habayis. You could, yeah.
So what would happen? They would
again, they take the table itself. Either if they have a need for it in the Beis Hamikdash, they'd use it in the Beis Hamikdash. And if not, then they'd sell it. And if not, then they'd sell it and use the money for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. Right. Also, umoylan begedulei. And another difference is that hektish bedek habayis, Me'ilah would apply to things that grow from them, which is not the case with Kodesh Mizbeach, as we'll see in the Gemara. The Ein Ben Hanah L'Bailim, and another difference is that Kodesh Bedek HaBayis, there's no Hanah for the owner in them. Or on the side of here, give a different girsa, L'Koyim. Meaning, in other words, Kodesh Mizbeach, after all, the Koyanim get some part of all Kodeshim, even if it's something like an Ola, which is completely burnt down on the Mizbeach, they get the skin out of it. As other korbanos, they get portions to eat, chatas and asha, most of it, etc. Shlomim, they get chaz of a shoyk, and the owner gets parts of it, as opposed to kodesh bedek habayis, there's no such thing. Even tovus hanah, or whatever, yeah. Fine. So those are the differences between kodesh mizbeach and kodesh bedek habayis. Okay. Or some of the differences, anyway. No, of course there's me'ilah with kodesh mizbeach, but not with gidulim, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Not with things that grew from them. Okay. So, for example, well, the Gemara is going to give an example. Let's say, for example, milk or egg from kodesh mizbeach. What? No, in other words, if you have, you were makdish an animal and it produced milk. You were makdish a bird and it laid eggs. So then there's a difference between kodesh mizbeach and kodesh bedek habayis in that regard, whether me'ilah applies to that milk or those eggs. Okay. So the Gemara starts by asking, well, klala hu? Do kol kodesh mizbeach oisin tmura? You're telling me it's an absolute rule that all kodesh mizbeach are able to produce a tmura? Bari oifos, what about birds? Do kodesh mizbeach ain? No kodesh mizbeach, they can be brought as korbanos. Utnan, and yet we learn in a Mishnah at the end of the first parak, I'm a nachas va oifos ain oisin tmura. So there you go. There are things that are brought on the Mizbeach. There are things that are Kodesh Mizbeach and do not make a Tmura. The question is, why is our Mishnah saying the difference is that Kodesh Mizbeach Osin Tmura, as if it's an absolute thing, all Kodesh Mizbeach can produce a Tmura? Not all of them can.
It doesn't.
Well, that's, wait. The answer is Kisatani Abahema. Okay, but the Mishnah is only talking about animals. The Mishnah is not addressing birds and other such things. Okay, what about Bari Vlav Kodesh
Mizbeach?
Fine, but we can say that Kodesh Mizbeach, and the Mishnah, it means just animals, right? Okay, so what about Vlad? What about the baby of Kodshim? Kodshim is Bahu. That also, depending on the type of korban, the baby will be brought as a korban as well, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta. Otnan ain't a Vlad or it's a Tzmura. And in that same Mishnah, we said that a Vlad cannot make a Tzmura. The answer is Homani Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, you can answer our Mishnah. It goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Dom a Vlad or it's a Tzmura. He says it could, but therefore that's not an exception. Okay, what about Bahu? Right. Well, about a tzmura atma, what about another one? Let's consider an animal that itself was used as a tzmura, to kodesh mizbeach. Again, with most kinds of korbanos, the tzmura, not most, okay, with many kinds of korbanos, the tzmura itself is brought as a korban, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the tzmura of an oila is an oila, the tzmura of a shlomim is a shlomim, etc. Utsnan ain't tzmura oit the tzmura. And we also learned over there that one tzmura cannot make another tzmura. So you see, it's not an absolute rule that all kodesh mizbeach can make a tzmura, even among animals. The answer is, the Gemara says, you're right. Kitatoniai ikar zivka. You're right. But the Mishnah is not talking about all kinds of animals that can be brought on the Mizbeach. The Mishnah is talking about every one where it's the original location of the Kedusha. Not when it comes to Tzmura, where it's not the original one, it's the secondary location, because first the Tzmura applied to one animal, and then you applied it also to another animal. Now that you got to that answer, then you don't have to say anymore that our Mishnah is only like Rabbi Yehuda. It could even be according to the Chachamim, who say that a Vlad, though it's Kodshim, is Be'ach, cannot make a Tzmura. Same thing. It's because we're only talking about the main location of the Kedusha, not the secondary one that came from it, namely a Vlad. So you would still have to say, the Mishnah is only addressing animals, otherwise you have a question about birds, but within animals, yes, we can say it's an absolute statement. Every animal that itself was the original place of the Kedusha and of the Kedusha's Mizbeach is able to make a Tzmura. Yeah. Okay.
What's
Tzmura? Yeah, that was a Mishnah earlier. That was a Mishnah in the first Mishnah. That's what we said. Yeah. So if you had animal A, which was designated, let's say, as an Oyla or Shlomim or what have you, and you made a Tzmura from it to B, so B now is a Tzmura, but if you now say, you take animal C and you say, I want C to be a Tzmura for B, nothing happens. That you have a Machloika, that we had a Machloika earlier in the Masechta. We had Reb Shimon versus the Chachamim, we had Reb Yerichanan and Bar Pada within Reb Shimon's opinion. Yeah.
In a traditional case.
Right, but from A to B and from B to C, everybody agrees that not. From A to B and then from A to C, that you have a choice. Fine. Then we said the Ein Noisin Mehen La'umnin Cholah. We said that Kodshim Mizbeach cannot be given to the workers for the Beis Mikdash for their pay, implying Chok Kodshim Bedek Abay is Noisin. Okay, so the implication is that Kodshim Bedek Abay is you could give to the owner. Now, why is that? Menahani Miliyah says on the side, Amar Rabbo, Dama Krav, also Li, because the Pasuk says, also Li Mikdash, they should make for me a Mikdash, which Li means Mishali, means from my own, from so to speak, what belongs to me, Hashem says, you can build the Mikdash. So there we go. In other words, that you're taking something that belongs to Hashem, because it's Hekdash, and you're giving it to the owner. So again, you have the Yavin Machlokas over there. Does it mean that you're giving the actual object itself, or does it mean that you first have to transfer it to a shah to something else? But the point is that you could have a different Machlokas, but the point is the basic concept applies that Kodesh Bedek Habayit can be used to pay the employees. Well, but the point would be, if we were to say that not, we would say, for example, you have to pay them out of other funds, and then you reimburse those from the Beit Mikdash or something.
Then we said,
Yesh, well, we said, on the other hand, there are features in Kodesh Bedek Habayit that don't apply to Kodesh Mizbeach. And one of them was that we said, the first one we said was Stam Hekdeshes Lebedek Habayit. That if a person says, this is Hekdesh without specifying, it goes to the Bedek Habayit. So Omamar, so we said in the Mishnah, Sanach Deshus Beder Kabayis. We also said another difference is the Chalal HaKol. We also said that Kodesh Beder Kabayis can be on anything, as opposed to Kodesh Mizbeach is only the things that can be offered on the Mizbeach. So Man Tana, which Tana is it that says that anything that you makdish, Sam, even if it's animals that could be brought as Korbanis, would actually go to Beder Kabayis? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, the Loik Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yechanan says that is not like Rabbi Yeshua. It would be rather like Rebbe Eliezer.
That's what?
The Mishnah is telling us, Stam Hektashis for Beder Kabayis, meaning in other words, even if you have something that could be brought as a korban, let's say a person is makdish an animal, a person is makdish, let's say, a sheep, which is a tamim, and it's the right age and everything, and it could be brought as an oiler or chakas or what have you. Nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying, because you said this is hektish without specifying, then it goes to Beder Kabayis. Rebbe Yeshua, we're going
to
say, would disagree with that.
He would say it goes to the
Mizbeach. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Part of it is actually Tanan. It says on the side because it's actually a Mishnah in Shkolim. A makdish nechosav. Person is makdish his possessions. V'hoya behemah ra'ui l'gabi Mizbeach. And among his possessions was an animal that is suitable to be brought as a korban. Zchorim unakevus. You had male animals and you had female animals that are tamim and they're of the right age and everything and can be brought as korbanos. So what do you do with them? Rebbe Eliezer says zchorim yimachru tzarcheolus. You do like this: the male animals you sell to people who need them for an oiler, because you sell them to somebody who needs them for an oila, because after all, they are an animal that is a tamim, and therefore it's right that it should be brought as a korban. But on the other hand, the person is makdish, that goes to Beder Kabayis, you sell them to somebody who needs an oila. Unakevus yimachru l'tzorchei shlamim, the female animals you sell to people who need animals for shlamim. Udmeim yiplumim shar nechosim l'Beder Kabayis. Then you take the rest of the property together with the money that you got from selling these animals, and it all goes to Beder Kabayis. So Rabbi Eliezer would agree with what our Mishnah is saying. Stam hektish l'beder kabayis. So the only thing he's saying is the animal itself, because it can be brought as a korban, has to be brought as a korban. However, we're not just bringing it as a korban and taking it away. It doesn't just stay off the books of beder kabayis. It has to go on beder kabayis' books. How do we do that? By selling it to somebody who needs it for a korban and the money goes towards beder kabayis.
So first it goes to
Beder
Kabayis as an animal.
It goes to Beder Kabayis as an animal. Beder Kabayis in turn sells it, the gizbar sells it to somebody who needs it for a korban, and now they have to keep some money for Beder Kabayis. Rabbi Yeshua says no. Zchorim hein asman yukru bo'oilus. The male animals themselves are brought as a korban oila. So therefore, in other words, according to him, those don't go to Beder Kabayis. If Beder Kabayis gets nothing out of them. Unakevis yimachru l'tzorchei.
There's no money in that.
Right, exactly. The females he agrees you sell to people who need them for shlamim. You can't say that those you should just bring without buying them back from Beder Kabayis, because after all, a shlamim, the owner eats part of them and the kohen eats part of them. You can't just take that from Beder Kabayis as opposed to the animals for the oilers. They're all getting burnt on the mizbeach anyway.
So
the females you sell to people who need shlamim. The Yavi B'dmein Oilus, then Rabbi Yeshua says, actually, what you do is, you take that money, it doesn't go to Beder Kabayis either. You use that money for Oilus, which also don't go to Beder Kabayis. Or Shar Nechasim L'Beder Kabayis, and the rest goes to Beder Kabayis. In other words, therefore, so Rabbi Yeshua is saying, whenever you have an animal among the Nechasim that can be brought as a korban, it always has to be brought as, it or its value has to be brought as an oila. So if it itself can be brought as an oila, you do that. If not, then its value goes to an oila. But all of that is being deducted from what goes to Beder Kabayis. So the guy was makdish nechosim that are worth $1 million, and among them you have these animals altogether, these animals altogether are worth 100,000, let's say. So it means Beder Kabayis is only getting 900,000 of the total, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Beder Kabayis is getting the whole million. Just that the animals themselves are being brought as korbanos.
Why
isn't
the korban?
Because according to Rabbi Yeshua, there's no reason for that. Because the animal itself could be brought as directly as an oila. The whole point is Rabbi Eliezer wants you to sell them because Rabbi Eliezer wants the money to end up in Beder Kabayis. Rabbi Yeshua doesn't care about that. Rabbi Yeshua says you were makdish the animals that can go to the mizbeach. You were makdish to the mizbeach. In other words, according to, as the Gemara is going to say soon. As the Gemara is going to say soon, it comes out that we're going to be discussing the question, when do we say that a person is choylik at nidra? when a person, each person made a neder, my whole nechassim, which is $1 million, is going to Hekdesh, does he mean that it all million has to go to the same place, which would be Berech HaBayis, or could he mean that some of it is going to Mizbeach and some of it is going to Berech HaBayis?
So according to Rabbi
Eliezer, it comes out all of it has to go to Berech HaBayis. So ultimately, Berech HaBayis has to end up with the whole million. That's why according to him, you're selling the animals, and the money is going to the mizbeach, and they're selling the animals, and there's people who need them for korbanos. The animals themselves are being brought as korbanos.
So what's the difference? In the end, you sell it, but the money still goes to Berech.
No, again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Berech HaBayis is ending up with all of the money. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's not. According to Rabbi Yeshua, we're taking some of those nechassim. Yeah, and the nechavis actually, because the nechavis also are being sold just in order to buy erlis. You're not selling them in order to use the money for Berech HaBayis, according to Rabbi Yeshua. You're selling the females in order to buy erlis. So it comes out some of the neder, some of the hefish is going to the mizbeach and is not even on the books of Berech HaBayis. Okay. So the Gemara says, a pligah did of adavah. Now, this understanding that we said that our Mishnah would work only according to Rabbi Eliezer, that disagrees with Rabbi Adar Bar Ava's understanding of the Machlokes. The Amar of Adar Bar Ava, Amar Rav, the Eder Shekula is Karim, if the person has a herd of animals that are all males, Afilu Rabbi Eliezer Moideh, then even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that you bring all those males as Olus, and therefore it means that Berech HaBayis is not getting anything out of them. Because we can assume that a person is not going to ignore Kodesh Mizbeach and give it all to Berech HaBayis, given that these animals could be brought completely on the Mizbeach, where therefore they're going all to the Mizbeach and nothing to anybody else. Again, Shlomim is different, because there you have human involvement, that's a whole different matter, but here, where it's all male animals and they could all be brought as oilers, says Rav Adar Bar Ava, that in that case, all of them are going to Berech HaBayis. The machloikas rather would only be if you have the person has a herd of animals of which half are males, and not literally half, not 50% necessarily, but some are males and some are females. So like this, therefore, the machloikas is Rabbi Yezer is going to hold like this. Ein choylekas nidrei. We're not going to assume that the person divided up his net, that he meant some of it to go to the mizbeach and some of it to go to Berech HaBayis. Or rather, we would say, like, if you have animals that all can go to Kodesh Mizbeach, then yeah, he's Cholik of Nidra. We assume that whatever can go to the Mizbeach goes to the Mizbeach, namely the males and everything else. But if among the animals themselves, if among a segment of the Nechassim, the animals, you have males and females, says Rabbi Adar Bar Ava, that Rabbi Eliezer would say he's not going to be distinguishing among the animals, given that the females themselves cannot be brought as oilus, because oilus are only male animals. Schorim nami lav oilus. Therefore, we have to assume he didn't mean for the schorim themselves to go to oilus and not go to, and that their value should not go to Berech HaBayis. Evidently, he meant that all of them, the value of them is going to go to Berech HaBayis. Rabbi Yeshua. It means exactly that. Because you have some animals that themselves cannot be brought as oilus, so obviously there has to be some, the female, therefore obviously there has to be some selling of animals anyway, because even according to Rabbi Yeshua, what are we doing? We're selling the females and using the money to buy oilus. So Rabbi Eliezer rather is going to say, in that case, we're going to say, Ein choylekas nidre. He's not going to be dividing his neder in half and saying that among the animals themselves, some of them are going directly to the Mizbeach and not to Berech HaBayis. And others are going to Berech HaBayis and from there to the Mizbeach, we're not going to say that. We're going to say that everything is going to Berech HaBayis, therefore, fine, the animals are being brought as korbanos, but the value of them has to go to Berech HaBayis. So the nechavos are being sold, and the males are being sold, and both sets of money are being used to be better for Berech HaBayis. That's Ein Cholekas Nidrei, not dividing. That's Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Adar Bar Ava's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. Right. Rabbi Yeshua Sava Cholekas Nidrei. Rabbi Yeshua would hold that a person is dividing up his neder even finely like that, even within the animals themselves. We're saying that he had in mind whatever can go to the Mizbeach goes directly to the Mizbeach without passing through Berech HaBayis. And whatever can't find, we'll have to go to Berech HaBayis. So according to that, then it comes out that our Mishnah is not necessarily necessarily only a coinage of Eliezer, because coinage of Adabar Abba, there's even a case where Eliezer would have, where the a coinage of Adabar Abba, rather, even a coinage of Eliezer, sometimes you have that a person's machdish and not all of it goes to Berak HaBayis. So according to him, we would have to say that when the Mishnah says Samachdesh is the Berak HaBayis, it means of things that cannot be brought as karbanos. Right. Okay. Mishnah Amba, another version of how it goes. Amar of Adarava. No, well, two versions of what Rav Adarava said. That Amar of Adarava Amar Rav, B'shaloi Hikdish El Behema. Now in the first lashon we said we're talking about you have many other nechassim, then you have animals, and within the animals you have either it's all males or you have some males and some females. In the second version, Rav Adarava Abba starts by saying that if there was only animals that he was makdish, afilu Rav Eliezer moida, then even Rav Eliezer would agree that you bring them as korbanos and they don't go to Berak HaBayis. Jalei shavik inish kodshim izbeach or makdish to Berak HaBayis, because the person is not going to ignore kodshim izbeach and give it all to Berak HaBayis. So then we assume, in other words, again, in the first version, we said, forget about the other nechassim. The other nechassim, it's a given that they're going to Berak HaBayis. It's only, we have to look at the animals and see, is it all males, or is it some males, some females? In the second version, we're saying, only if there's nothing else in the nechassim among animals, only then would Rav Eliezer say that if they're all males, then we bring them all as korbanos, and Berak HaBayis gets nothing. According to the second version, the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, is if there are other nechassim which are not going to other than animals. So Rabbi Eliezer saw that ain't a machlokas nidrei. So again, Rabbi Eliezer is going to use the logic that we used in the first version, that a person doesn't divide his neder in half. Midishar nechassim loy lekodshim mizbeach. Given that the other nechassim are obviously not going to the mizbeach, because they're not things that can be directly offered to the mizbeach. Then we should assume that the animals themselves, and here in the second version, doesn't matter males or females or what have you, or what the mix is, presumably if the other nechassim he didn't mean for kodshim mizbeach, then neither did he mean the animals. Therefore, ultimately, the value of the animals has to go to Berak HaBayis, because that was his neder. Because they're tinim, fine, you have to offer them on the mizbeach, but that's hefesh has to get the value. Rabbi Yeshua will hold that a person can divide, that a person will divide up his neder. Therefore, so again, whatever can't be offered on the mizbeach is not going to be, but whatever can be offered on the mizbeach as an oila, then you do that. So that is why, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we're saying that the value of the animal, that none of the value of the animals is going to Berak HaBayis. All of the value of the animals is going into Oilus, which are Kodshim Mizbeach. Because according to him, we assume, according to the second version, we assume the person had in mind whatever is something that could be brought on the Mizbeach, has to be brought on the Mizbeach. It's not meant to go to Berak HaBayis at all. Everything else is meant to go to Berak HaBayis. Now, whereas Rabbi Eliezer would say that, no, well, once you have other nechassim, then everything is going to Berak HaBayis. But again, according to the second version, they would all agree if there were only animals in the nechassim, then it all goes to the mizbeach. Okay, fine. Then we said, so we said in the Mishnah, Dmeim Yiploim Shar Nechassim LeBerak HaBayis. We said the value of the animals goes together with the value of the rest of the nechassim to Berak HaBayis. So b'shleimo lishna basra, I can understand according to the second version of Rav Adarava Abba, hainu dekatani im shar nechassim leberak HaBayis. So it makes sense. The Mishnah is saying that you have other nechassim which are going to Berak HaBayis, and together with them goes the value of these animals. But according to the first version, why are you bothering to? Because according to the second version, the key point is because there are other nechassim, that's what triggers, therefore, the value of these is going to Berak HaBayis. Otherwise, we would have said they all go to the Mizbeach. But in the Lishna Kama, why does it have to mention that they go together with other nechassim? Just say it goes to Berak HaBayis. Because according to the first version, it doesn't matter whether there's other nechassim or not. The key thing, according to the first version, is are they all male animals, or is there a mix of male and female? What other nechassim there are doesn't matter. So why are we bothering to mention that it goes with the other nechassim?
What would we do if there was other nechassim?
Of course they go to Berak HaBayis, but that's not the key difference. The answer is that the answer is yes. Tanya Nami Hoffi, Tony Hoffi, I've always said, girl changes it too. Yeah, you're right. This is how you should, Shizumoku Beth, this also changes it too. Yeah, you're right. You should read the Mishnah as follows, and man, you fool about a kabai. According to that first version, you would reread the Mishnah, not that it goes with the other Nechotim, there's no chiddush in that, but just the value of the kabai. Okay. Anyway, so the bottom line is that, again, all of this discussion was according to Adar Bar Ava's understanding the Machlokas, and where we started out with Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, with Rabbi Yochanan's understanding the Machlokas, that it doesn't matter whether there are or aren't other Mechasim, doesn't matter whether it's all males or some males, some females or whatever. Rabbi Eliezer would always say that all the money has to go to Beit HaKabayis, and Rabbi Yeshua would say some of it goes to Mizeach, and our Mishnah therefore would be on the influence of Rabbi Eliezer. Then we said in the Mishnah, Hektish Beit HaKabayis Chal Al HaKol. We said that another difference is that Hektish Beit HaKabayis can be Chal on anything. So what do you mean Al HaKol? L'Yisuyimai. What is that coming to include? Amaravina, L'Yisuy Shefuyev Niva. It comes to include also, let's say a person was Makdish a tree to Beit HaKabayis. So we said that Hektish Beit HaKabayis Chal Al HaKol. Yes. So what does it mean? So if a person was Makdish a tree to Beit HaKabayis, then Me'ila would also apply. Let's say, for example, Shifuye means if you stand down the tree, yeah, you have sawdust that comes off the tree, Me'ila would apply to that also. And also the Niva, also Me'ila would apply to the Niva. So what is Niva or Nevia? Rashi explains that Nevia are the leaves that fall off the tree, which eventually fall on the ground and decay and become fertilizer. Me'ila would apply to those as well. So even though you would think, they're the sawdust. Sawdust and the leaves, even though you would think those are unimportant things. Nevertheless, Me'ila still applies to it. Well, that's Gedulim is another matter. Those are things that grow from it, but yeah. The Rambam actually has a different understanding of Nevi'ah. The Rambam understands Nevi'ah as like the knots or the heartwood or whatever of the tree. The Rambam describes it as like a wart-like thing in the middle of the tree that's hard and useless for any kind of work. I guess it's only useful for firewood, but whatever. It's like a knot in the tree or whatever, which same idea, in other words. That nevertheless, Me'ila still applies. You amakdish the tree, and Me'ila still applies to the knots in it, right? Then we said Umoylan Begidulehen, we said that Me'ila also applies to things that grow from Hektish Beit HaKabayis. So the Isuyamai, so what does that come to include? What kind of growths are we saying that apply to Kodesh Beit HaKabayis but not to Kodesh Mizbeach? I'm going to pop the Isuyam, Yushas Mizbeach, Chalev HaMukdoshin, or Beitei Torah. It comes to include that if you have milk, from animals that were declared as Kodesh Mizbeach or eggs milk comes from the body, yeah, or Beit HaTorin or eggs of turtle doves. As in fact we learn in the book Tzidkan, actually it's Mishnah and Me'ila. Chalev HaMukdoshin of Beit HaTorin, the milk of animals of Kodesh Mizbeach that is, and the eggs of turtle doves, which are Kodesh Mizbeach also, because doves and turtle doves are the only kinds of birds you can bring as a carbon. You're not allowed to have hanah from them, but the dinim of Me'ila do not apply to them. Usually that means, according to many Rishonim, that they're only also in Me'ila Midrabanan. But whatever it is, the point is, when is that talking about? The Kodesh Mizbeach, only with Kodesh Mizbeach, that Me'ila does not apply to the milk or to the eggs, for reasons that we're going to say in a second. But when it comes to Kodesh Beit HaKabayis, it's not like that. Hikdish Tanagolus, if a person is Makdish of chicken, and Rashi points out, by the way, before we mentioned turtle doves, now we're mentioning chickens because a chicken can't be brought to the curb. Therefore, you're more likely to be, therefore, if you're going to be Makdish it, it's going to be for Beit HaKabayis. Turtle doves, which you can bring to the curb, and if you're going to be Makdish, then you're going to be Makdish them for the Mizbeach. So a chicken, a person with Makdish a chicken, Molin Bebeit Chasa. Me'ila would apply to its egg. Chamora, if a person was Makdish a female donkey, which can also be donated to Beit HaKabayis, same idea, either they'll use it itself for carrying burdens or whatever, or they'll sell it, Molin Bechalava, Me'ila would apply to the milk of it. Now, even according to the opinion that says that Me'ila does apply to Gedulim when it comes to Kedushas Mizbeach, Even then, though, there is a difference because Hanimim Gidulin, the Chazulim is there. That would only apply to Gidulin that could themselves be brought out on the Mizbeach. For example, Rashi says bloodless. Again, if an animal of Kodshim has a baby, the baby itself usually can also be brought as a korban. So that's fine. You have an opinion that says Me'ila would apply to the baby. Ava Gidulin, the Loy Chazulim Mizbeach, the Gidulin that are not themselves suitable to bring on the Mizbeach, the milk or the eggs are not themselves, are not things themselves that can be brought as korbanos. Everybody would agree, Ein Meilin Behen, everybody would agree that Me'ila doesn't apply to them. As opposed to with Kodshim Bet Kabayis, there's no such difference. Because Kodshim Bet Kabayis, again, can be chal on everything. So you can be makdish carton milk to Bet Kabayis also. So therefore, it also applies to the milk of Kodshim Bet Kabayis, and the same thing with eggs.
Paradoxical, but you would say that less Me'ila is there than Kodshim.
Well, because again, the reason is because Kedushas Aguf can only be chal on, Kedushas Mizbeach can only be chal on certain things. Therefore, Me'ila is not going to apply. So again, you have two different opinions. One is that Me'ila is not going to apply to any Gedulim of Kodshim Mizbeach, even if those Gedulim themselves, for example, baby animals, are themselves suitable to be brought as carbonis, as long as you weren't makdish them themselves. And the other opinion is that... Well, yeah, but on the other hand, the other opinion would say that those Me'ila would apply to, but not things that themselves cannot have Kedushas Mizbeach, like milk and eggs. Like milk and eggs, everybody would agree that. Tosfos, by the way, disagrees with this definition of Rashi, that Chazul Mizbeach is things like Vlodos. Tosfos says that no, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we have a different reason to say that Vlodos should or shouldn't have Kedusha on the basis of a Pasuk, Yiracha. So what are you telling me that it's a matter, so what are you telling me that you have, that they have Tanoim arguing on the question of Gedulim that are suitable to be brought on Mizbeach versus not? So Tosfos rather explains that that Gedulin, that a Chazulim is back, that we're talking about over here, means blood. Now you can have, we're going to learn in Me'ila. Well, because blood is considered Gedulin. It's something that comes from the animal, like milk in that sense, and it is suitable to be brought on the Mizbeach. We're going to learn in Me'ila, Tosfos brings over here from Me'ila, that if you let blood for a behema of Kodshim, because it's got high blood pressure or whatever, and you do some bloodletting to it, Me'ila would apply to that blood. And the blood itself, had it remained in the animal, would have been suitable to go on the Mizbeach, because eventually it could be Dama Nefesh. So, yeah. Okay. Fine. It can be called a giddle in much the same way as milk can. Once it separates from the animal. Once it separates from the animal, then it's a giddle, yeah. No, we're not saying that a person is committing me'ila by doing the bloodletting. He's doing the bloodletting in order to cure the animal. But the point is, if a person were to use that blood, he would be committing me'ila. Okay. Okay, Mishnah says, Echad Kodshim Mizbeach. So in the previous Mishnah, we talked about differences between Kodshim Mizbeach and Kodshim Bet Kabayis. Let's talk about some similarities between them. Echad Kodshim Mizbeach and Echad Kodshim Bet Kabayis. Ein Mishanin Ois and Mekdusha LeKedusha. You cannot change them from one type of Kedusha to another. So within Kodshim Bet Kabayis, it actually gives the example, let's say, you can't re-makdish them for the Mizbeach, because they belong to Bet Kabayis. And when it comes to Kodshim Mizbeach, for example, you can't transfer from one type of carbon to another. You can't have an animal, an oila to a shlomim, or shlomim to an oila, or whatever. And again, here's where the Rambam understands that Kedusha L'Kedusha means that also within Bet HaKabayis, if it was earmarked for one part of the Beis HaMikdash, then you can't repurpose it for another. Well, yeah, because the Rambam disagrees with him. And again, the Kesef Mishnah wants to say that maybe the Rambam would hold to a higher level of Kedusha you could, but to a lower level of Kedusha you couldn't. No, not to redeem. We're talking about if the Gizbonim themselves, let's say, you have, let's say, a stone that was donated to build into the Azara, and they want to instead to build it into the Heichel, the Rambam seems to be saying that you wouldn't be allowed to. Yeah, if you want to redeem it, and then he wants to give it back to Hektish for another purpose, yeah. Yes.
If you can redeem it.
You can redeem anything from Hektish.
Exactly.
Yeah. Once you redeem it, then it's not Hektish anymore. It's Kolin. Once it's Kolin, you can be Maktish in the new category. Yeah. Well, that's only if he's the owner, but that's neither here nor there. But once it goes out of Hektish, then if you Maktish it again, it's a new thing.
Yeah, but the mere fact that it can go out of Hektish and it cannot change its category within Hektish It's questionable.
No, there's no reason it should be questionable. When it's within Hektish, you can't change it. But when it's out of Hektish and then you want to put it back into Hektish, it could. Another
when
difference.
When it comes out of Hektish and uses for institution.
Yeah, exactly. So therefore, you can give it a whole...
When it assigns to another category within Hektish, it doesn't use that institution.
But nevertheless, we're saying you can't do that.
There's
nothing paradoxical about it. It was assigned to one thing. It was assigned to one type of kedusha. You can't just unilaterally change that level of kedusha. But if you're going to be machalal it, you're going to take the kedusha off of it and transfer it to something else. For example, okay, but that's the Torah tells you can do that. But you can be machalal it. You have various sukkim in parshas Bechukos, mainly that talk about where you can be machalal, you can be poder, you can be poder kedusha. You know, the basic fact that you can be poder kedusha. Another difference is that kodshim is deach can be made a hektish ilui. You can make it a hektish where you have to evaluate it financially. Namely, you have an animal of kodshim is deach, and then you say, I want to give it to Bedek HaBayis. So what we do is you figure out the monetary value that he has in it, the Tovus HaNoah basically, and you give that to Bedek HaBayis. We learned about that near the end of Erechim. So for example, Rashi brings from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, and the Gemara and Erechin over there, that depends whether it was a neder or an adavar originally. Because if it was a neder, then he has to pay Hektish the full value of it. Because what happens with a neder? If he says a neder, I'm going to bring an ola, and he designates an animal for the purpose, then he's chayav b'achriyosa. If the animal is lost or stolen or what have you, he has to bring another one of equal value. So therefore, when he says this animal now belongs to Bedek HaBayis, that means he owes Bedek HaBayis the full value of the animal. As opposed to if it was an adava, then he only owes the Tovus HaNoah. Which what the Tovus HaNoah means, Rashi over here and over there explains that means, for example, that you might have the owner of the korban is a Yisrael, so another Yisrael who has, let's say, a grandson or a nephew who is a Zakayan might give him a couple of bucks in order that he should wait or bring that he should give the korban to his grandson or his nephew to bring, and that way that particular Kayan benefits from it because he gets the skin. Rabbi Nageshim explains a little differently that it means that the Tovus HaNoah would be that if you'll wait with bringing this korban until my grandson or nephew or what have you is on duty in the Bis Mikdash, that it's his Mishmar's turn, then I'll give you a couple of bucks for it. That would be the Tovus HaNoah. Okay. Anyway, so that's Hektish Ilui. Ilui means that you have to evaluate the value of it, because that's how it is. Normally, when you're Makdish an animal with an Oiler or any other kind of korban, you don't have to figure out the monetary value of it. It doesn't matter whether it's worth a lot or a little. Either way, same korban. But here, where you said that I'm going to give it, that I want it to be the property of Bedek HaBayis, now you need to evaluate it. Umachrimin Oisan. Also, another din is that you can declare them. What?
Who evaluates it?
This is Barn.
So they're
their job is to evaluate things for the business. Also, you can declare a kodshim is deach cherem, which we learned at the end of Erechin about the concept of cherem. We said there's cherem koyanim and there's cherem l'gavaya. Here we're talking about cherem l'koyanim. Same idea. In other words, he's going to owe the koyanim the value, the appropriate value, the full value if it was a neder or the Tovus HaNoah if it was an adam. The Mesu Yikavru. Another difference is that both Kodshim Mizbeach and Kodshim Bedek HaBayis, if they die without you having brought it as a turban or without having employed it, they have to be buried because they're also banned. Reb Shimon Oma, Kodshim Bedek HaBayis in Mesu Yikavru. Reb Shimon says there is a difference, though, when it comes to Kodshim Bedek HaBayis. Even if they died, you're able to be poured to them after they're dead. As we'll see in the Gemara eventually, if the argument is whether the Torah tells us in Parshas Bechukosai, they have to stand up the animal in front of the Kohen, and the Kohen has to evaluate the value of it, to see how much Bedek HaBayis gets out of it. Reb Shimon holds that doesn't apply, that Reb Shimon holds that only applies to Kodesh Mizbeach, not to Kodesh Bedek HaBayis. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Omer Rav Huna. Kodshim is beach sheit pisam lechermei koyanim. Kodshim is beach that a person put on them an extra kedusha of chermei koyanim. Loi also klum, says Rav Huna, what he did doesn't count for anything. It's impossible for him to do that because he doesn't even have to give the koyanim the hektish. My time, why is that? Amakura. take peace on. We learned before in Masechta that that to be makpis something means to add an extra kedusha to it. So he has an animal that was designated as a korban, and then he also declared a chermei koyanim. Rav Huna says nothing happened. He doesn't even owe the koyanim the value or the tribus I know or whatever. My time, why? I'm a korban because the pasuk says kol chayrim kodesh kadoshim hu lashem. Because the pasuk says all chayrim is kodesh kadoshim hu is kodesh kadoshim tashem, implying kol chayrim the kodesh kadoshim havi hahu lashem, implying that if you declare a chayrim on something which is kodesh, which was kodesh tashem, then it's completely lashem, and the kohen doesn't get anything out of it. He thought that he was going to give it. Usually when a person declares chayrim l'koyanim, it means he has to give the object to the koyanim. And in fact, it's also for any other use until he gives it to the koyanim. But here, Rav Huna says, when he took an animal that he had already previously designated a korban and says on it, chayrim l'koyanim, nothing happens. Okay, the Gemara says, Then it still remains only to Hashem, the koyanim don't get anything out of it. Okay, the Gemara says, Mesu. I have a contradiction.
Cherim, the answer to Cherim is when you...
You stay on it, Cherim. We talked about it here. Yeah.
Which means you dedicate it to the Kohanim.
To the Kohanim. Well, there's two different kinds of Cherim. There's Cherim Makohanim, Cherim Magavaya. You actually have a Makhloikas we learned at the end of Erechin, where the Sam Charam and Makohanim is Sam Charam and Magavaya. But here we're talking about in a case where it's a Cherim Makohanim. He said explicitly or whatever. Okay. So, Mesu. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction. And Braisa says, Kod Shebedek Abai is Shet Pisan. If he puts the kedusha on them of chayim, or any other kind of kedusha, bein lekodshim is beach, bein lecherem is koyanim. Whether he took this kod shebedek habayis and declared it kodshim is beach, or whether he declared it cherem lekoyanim, loy osakum, what he did doesn't count for anything because he doesn't own it. It belongs to hefesh, implying that and continues the Braisa, Cherme Koyanim Sheit Pisan, if he has an animal of Cherme Koyanim, and he put another Kedusha on him, Bein Lekodshim is Beach, Bein Lekodshim is Kabayis, also Loyos of Flum, because again, it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to the Koyanim. But we have a third possibility, Hakodshim is Beach, Sheit Pisan, Cherme Koyanim, but the Braisa is not talking about Kodshim is Beach. The Braisa didn't say that if he takes Kodshim is Beach and declares them Cherme Koyanim or Cherme Bedek Abayis, nothing happens. So implying, therefore, that something does happen. Hal Kodshim is Beach, Sheit Pisan, Cherme Koyanim, Masha also Osri. By leaving it out, the Braisa seems to be implying that it does work. Shiyotu de Rav Huna, wouldn't that be a contradiction on Rav Huna? The answer is Amalach Rav Huna. So Rav Huna will answer you like this. You're right, you have three possible cases, but we only mentioned two of them, but the reason why, Ki Shaira, when the Tana of the Braisa left out the case of Kodshim Mizbeach and did not describe it, Ahadosh Shaira. The reason he left it out is as follows. Not like you're thinking because it would actually work if he declared a family claim, but rather, the Kodshim Mizbeach is pissed on the Bedek Abayis, Masha also Osui, because there's a difference. Kodshim Mizbeach, you have to divide it. All the other ones we said, if you do it to any of the other two, nothing happens. But here, when it comes to Kodshim Mizbeach, if you made them for Bedek HaBayis, then it does work. That's Hektish Ilri, as we said in the Mishnah. Avo Lecher Mekoyanim Loi Osakum. But for Lecher Mekoyanim, nothing. In other words, Rav Huna would say like this. Altogether, you have six possible cases. So you have three different types of Kedusha. Kodshim Mizbeach, Kodshim Bedek HaBayis, and Lecher Mekoyanim. And each one of them, you could declare it one of the other two. So you have six possibilities. So Rav Huna is saying, why did it leave out the two possibilities involving Kodshim Mizbeach? Because there's a difference between them. You can't say, the Braisa couldn't have said that if you took Kodshim Mizbeach and made them either Cherme Koyanim or Kodshim Bedek HaBayis, you would say it is or it isn't effective because there's a difference. The difference is, to Kodshim Bedek HaBayis it does work, to Cherme Koyanim it doesn't work. So therefore, the Braisa is just like...
say Kodshim Mizbeach
and turn it into Kodshim Bedek HaBayis, and that would be Hektish Ilri, as we said. You have to evaluate it and then pay that value to Hektish.
But you can't make it.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so the question... That's right, yeah. So the question is still, Velisni Agabe Hanach. Okay, so what? So you mention it together with the other cases. Mention Kodshim Mizbeach and say what you could do with them. Say what you can't do with them, rather. Just like you're saying that Kodshe Bedek HaBayis can't be made Kodshe Mizbeach or Cherme Koyanim, say that Kodshe Mizbeach can't be made Cherme Koyanim. Why not mention that? The answer is, the answer is Tana.
And
the answer is Tana de is be tauchi katoni de let's be tauchi like a ton. The answer is the Braisa only wants to mention the cases where it has a type of kedusha where either of the other two that you do to it, the same rules apply. It doesn't want to mention Kochim Mizeach, where Rav Huna is saying there's going to be a difference. You want to take it in this direction, it works, and you want to take it in that direction, it doesn't work. That's not like the other two cases where we're saying, regardless which direction you want to take it, it's not going to work. Therefore, the Braisa just left it out because it would have been confusing. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, well, Tanan, we have our Mishnah. Let's see if that works according to Rav Huna. Makdish ois and hekdish ilui. We said that you're able to be makdish kodshim mizbeach as hekdish ilui, where you're adding, where you're making that you have to evaluate the value of it and pay that to hekdish. And we said also the Mishnah had also said machrimin ois and hekdish ilui, meaning when you have kodshim mizbeach, you're able to give them hekdish ilui, you're able to make them kodshim mizbeach. And the Mishnah had also said a machrimin ois, then you can be machrim them. My lab, so shouldn't we assume that they mean hekdish ilui means a better kabayis, or machrimin lachem ekoyim? And in that case, again, that would contradict Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna is saying that kodshim mizbeach, you can't be machrim, and the Mishnah would be implying you could. The answer is both. Aidi ba'aidi, kodshim better kabayis. There's no, because both cases could be talking about kodesh beretika bayis. V'loishna makik lohu b'loshin hechdish lebetika bayis. V'loishna makik lohu b'loshin chermi lebetika bayis. So all the Mishnah is telling us it doesn't matter which expression you use. Whether you said the expression hechdish or whether you said cherem, where it's chermi, or it's chermi gamaya, either way the same rule would apply that hechdish ilui applies and the gizborim tell you that the gizborim evaluate the value of it, the value of the toivah hano or whatever, and you pay that amount to hechdish and you bring the animal to the curb. But the Mishnah is not addressing Chayim Ekarinim at all. Because according to Rav Huna, you can't make a Chayim Ekarinim. Okay, the problem with that is, so the question is, we see in a Braisa, not like that, the Tanya Braisa, Hektish Ilui, Kod Shebedek Abayis, Hektish Ilui, Kod Shebedek Abayis, and machriminos means chemei koyanim. That the definition of hektish ilui of our Mishnah, the Braisa is defining, means kodesh beretika bayis, and the definition of machriminos in our Mishnah means chemei koyanim. So not like Rav Huna. But oid for Tanya, and not only that, we have another Braisa that says kodesh mizbeach sheikdishu lochemei koyanim, that if you makdish kodesh mizbeach and you makdish them as chemei koyanim, masha also osui. What he did has validity, and he owes the koyanim the value. Kyufta did Rav Huna. Rav Huna can't argue with Braisa. He's an Amorita. Tshuvta de Rav Huna. We have a clear contradiction in Rav Huna. Yeah, you're right. Thinking about it, Tshuvta. Okay, it's a clear contradiction. So we review them. So the question is, well, Rav Huna krakama. Rav Huna had a pasuk on his side. A pasuk beat the Braisa. The answer is, Oma Ula, Oma krakheren, kol cheren. The answer is, Ula saying, no, the pasuk does not imply what Rav Huna is saying. Because Rav Huna is saying, because it said Kocherim Kodesh Kadoshim Hu Lashem, and he's saying that it means therefore any Cherim that previously was Kodesh Kadoshim remains Kodesh Kadoshim and goes only to Hashem and the Kohenim don't get anything out of it. Ula saying no, but you're not looking at closely at the Lashon of the Pasuk. It didn't have to say Kocherim, it could have said Cherim Kodesh Kadoshim. Instead it says Kocherim, so just the opposite. The Pasuk is implying Kocherim, anything could become Cherim, even if it is Kodesh Kadoshim Hu Lashem. It doesn't matter. Kol cheren. Anything can become cheren, even if it was kodesh kadoshim hu lashem. So Rav Huna had understood the pasuk to mean kol cheren, kodesh kadoshim hu lashem, anything you declare cheren, if it was kodesh kadoshim, remains hashem. All the same, just the opposite. The pasuk is stressing kol cheren, even if kodesh kadoshim hu lashem. The contradiction wouldn't have been from how we doubt from the pasuk. The contradiction comes from the bright. Once we have the Braisa contradicting Rav Huna, then we have to re-understand the process that way. Okay. So the question is, did Ula really say that, though? You're saying that it's Midaraisa, that it's Midaraisa, this concept, that if you mastish it, then you have to redeem it. Didn't Ula say that if a person takes an Ola and designates it for Bedeka Bayis, Einba Ela equals Gizborin Bilvad, all there is the delay of the Gizborin only. Meaning, in other words, that Rashi understands equal Gizborin means like this. because the animal, in other words, what we say is like this, the animal was designated as an oath. However, then you redesignated it for better kabbalah. What happens now is, effectively, the gizborim are considered the owners of it. Well, the rule is, the Mishnah tells us in Tainis, that when a person is bringing a korban, they have to be standing there and watch it being brought. So therefore, the gizborim are, in effect, the owners of it. Therefore, they have to be watching there. So in other words, so no money is going to Bedek Abayis. And the same thing when it goes to Cherme Koyanim, the same, even Rav Huna actually would have agreed that with that when it comes, if you designate it as Cherme Koyanim, all there is fine. We could say the Koyanim's the owner of it, maybe he has to stand there. But we're not saying that any money or anything is going to the Koyanim. So how is Ula telling us that you could make it a Cherem and it has a monetary effect? Ula was saying that the Pasuk is implying that anything is able to become Cherem. Meaning, in other words, okay. That's called Cherem. Meaning, therefore, so if you took an animal of Kodshim and made it Cherem, it has an effect insofar as now it belongs to the Kohenim, and you actually have to give them, the value of it. But we see from this that not all you need, you give them the value of the Torah, not as the case may be. But here we see you're not. All you have is equal kizbar. The answer is lo'olam rabbanon. No, actually, what we would say is this that we're saying. That you have ikul gizborim is actually only midrabbanan. The pasuk is only an asmakta. The pasuk kocherem is teaching us that meila applies.
So initially we wanted to understand.
We thought that the pasuk is teaching us that hekdish ilu applies. Daraisa, we're saying that no, it only applies midrabbanan. So you have this ikul gizborim is midrabbanan. The pasuk though is so. Therefore, the pasuk kol cherem rather is teaching us that the whole cherem belongs to Hashem in the sense that if a person used it before he gave it to the kohen, then he committed meila.
Rather than saying that about hekdesh.
Right. Well, in other words, it does apply to cherem. That if cherem a kohen, even though you're giving them to the kohen, they're not going to hekdesh. But if you use it without having given it to the kohen, then you committed meila. That we learn kol cherem. Any kind of cherem is considered kodesh kadoshim ulasha. By the way, as far as ikul gizborin, Tosfos has a different understanding, and the Rambam also understands this way, that ikul gizborin means that you do have to have the gizborin evaluate the value of it, and you pay that amount to the Beit Mikdash. And again, the Gemara is answering that concept is only Dirabbanan. Midaraisi, you wouldn't have to do that. Midaraisi, you could be makruh without. Okay, so the question is, Me'ila Lamalei, why do I need a pasuk to tell us that Me'ila would apply to Haramim? Lamalei Kura, why do I need a pasuk for it? Kodshim, excuse me. The posit clearly says that's Kodesh Kodashim, so obviously Me'ila applies there. You don't need Kol Cherem to teach us that. Okay, the Gemara answers.
It applies to Kodesh Kodashim, not Cherem.
But nevertheless, the posit is calling it Kodesh Kodashim. Automatically, that means that Me'ila should apply. Why do we need Kol Cherem to teach us the same thing? The answer is B'litai Meich. So according to your own Svara, you who are asking the question, what about this? Hada Amar Abyanai. Think of this that Rabbi Yannai said, Ein me'ila mechureshes min ha-Torah ela ba'oila bilvad. Min ha-Torah, it only says the concept of me'ila. In the Torah, it only clearly says the concept of me'ila when it comes to an oila. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Nefesh ki simo ma'al, if a person commits a trespass, v'chata b'shgaga, m'kodshe Hashem, and then the person sins unintentionally from the kodshim and uses something of the kodshim of Hashem, and chayav korban me'ila, implying when it says m'kodshe Hashem means hamyuchodin l'Hashem, means only kodshim that are uniquely go to Hashem, meaning an oila, which is completely burnt on the mizbeach. Avon chasas v'asham le'nachke elam midirevi, but how do we know that me'ila applies to a chasas and an asham? For that, we need Rebbe Yisrasha, the Tanya, Rebbe Yomer, Kol Chelav Hashem, when the pasuk says all the fat goes, meaning all the best quality goes to Hashem. The rabbit emure kodshim kalim l'me'ila. That from there we learn that the chelav, the emurim of kodshim kalim, that me'ila applies to them. He says that chasas and asham, anything where the owner doesn't have anything from it is called kodshi Hashem. Only when it comes to a shlamim or other kodshim kalim where the owner eats them, so then what part is considered kodshi Hashem? The emurim, and that we learn from kol chelav. Right. So the question is, you'd have to ask the same thing, Loma Likra, why do I need Kol Chelav Lashem for that? Kodshe Kodshim Ksibu, the Emurim are already called Kodshe Kodshim, and we know that anything that's Kodshe Kodshim Ela applies to. Ela, obviously, well, so why we need Kol Chelav Lashem? Ela, but we have to say, Afagab the Kodshe Kodshim Ksibu, true it says that the Emurim are called Kodshe Kodshim, nevertheless, Boi Krolod Abu Yinu Lamehila, nevertheless, we need a positive to be marba that Mi'ila applies to them, because otherwise, and the same thing to Chafas and Asham for that matter. Hachanami, so the same thing of a Charom and Nami, so the same thing. When it comes to Chirim, Afagab, the Kodshe Kodshim, Ksibahu, Boi Krolud, Rilad Aburinu, the Mi'ila. The same thing. We could say, in other words, this that Mi'ila should apply to them is a special thing, and you need a Pasuk for it, even though they're called Kodesh Kadashim. So there's your answer. Just like we see over there, that we need a Pasuk to tell us that Mi'ila applies to Chassas and Asham and the Emurim of Kodshim Kalim. So the same thing. That's the point. Rebbe is teaching us that in the case of Emurim of Kodshim Kalim, and Kol Chayrim teaches us the same concept applies to Chayrim Ekayinim. That Mi'ila applies to them.
One second. If you need a pasul for Chayrim, why don't you need a pasul for Emurim?
You do. That's what we said. We're learning from Kol Chayrim Hashem. All Chayrim belongs to Hashem, and if you use it, then you've committed Mi'ila.
And that includes Emurim?
The Emurim is a Chaylev. The Emurim includes a Chaylev. Well, it's not only. The Emurim includes some other parts also, but it's fine. But a Kol Chaylev means anything that's brought together, anything that is considered part of the Chaylev and is brought as the Emurim on the Mizbeh.
Emurim is very different from
Chaylev. They're not that different. The Emurim includes...
Emurim
No, that's Avarim. Now, Emurim is the inner organs that are offered on the Mizbeh.
Yeah,
the Chaylev, mostly it's the Chaylev. You have a couple of other parts also. You have the kidneys inside, they're capsules of Chaylev, and you have a piece of the liver or whatever. Mostly it's Chaylev.